blues away. And I can always count on you, 'cause you're my brother and you're my friend. All right, I hear my brothers out there, but I ain't hearing too many of my sisters. Come on, ladies, come on out. Well, you're my brother.
Keep standing here tonight and sing His Mercy Is More. Let's have all the kids that want to pray tonight come ahead and pray for us, and then we'll dismiss you to joyful noise tonight. All right. Start us off, Kate.
Dear Jesus, my first day, just hope everybody has a good time, and just hope all the kids have a good time at Wednesday night stuff, and just hope everybody has a good time. In Jesus' name, amen. Mama, free better, Sasha, happy birthday, amen.
Dear God, help us to have a good day, and help us to have a good attitude today and not be bad. And just let us who that are sick and put your hand on them and make them heal. Dear God, love you. Amen.
Amen. All right. Kids, you can be dismissed to Joyful Noise. And if we could get everybody else to open their hymn books to number 66, three verses tonight. To God be the glory, number 66. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. And turn over in your hymn books to number 345. We're going to sing the first and the last of Blessed Assurance. First and the last.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On the third, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Waiting, waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Just the voices.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this evening. Thank you, Sister Jennifer. We're going to look in our Bibles in just a moment in 1 John, 1 John, and we're so excited and glad. Today we've had a good day already in church at our noon service. Brother Dan, Sister Rita were back and added after 2 weeks of being sick and hurting, and so that was good to see them and have them with us in the afternoon service. And so we had a good afternoon service and just some cool things going on at the church. I told Brother Brandon I wanted to show him something because it's hard for me to prove without somebody else looking because it never happens. It's like, you know, being a Baptist pastor is like herding cats. You know, it's not very easy to get everybody together at the same time. But I was showing him through our church computer software all the families that call Assurance Baptist Church home and all the people that would come to church in the last 2 months at least twice a month. And there are 216 people that come to this church at least twice a month. They just never come together. And so it's encouraging, and that's up from about 90 people last year. Not 90 overall, I'm saying that's 90 more people than last year. And so that's an incredible number, an incredible feat, Assurance Baptist Church. And so keep that going. We had 17 folks at our new family fellowship, and so that's good news, and some that couldn't even be there. But we're doing well, but here's the key. Tomorrow night, this is why I say this. Tomorrow night, I know it's cold. Bless your little souls. Your pastor cares enough about you that I turned the heat on in this place. Now, I was doing just fine when it was 63 this morning when Brandon and I got here, but I knew that I would have somebody say, but people told me this afternoon, they said, well, it's colder when you have the air conditioning on than it is outside. Well, I don't know, maybe. But here's the key. Tomorrow night we have Grow, one last Grow for the year. And then we're going to go back into the winter months here and the fall months and darkness. And so we'll do a great commission night in October on the 27th, actually, just a early note. But we're looking to get as many people as possible. It's supposed to be about 67 degrees tomorrow, so put your jacket on. We had jackets on last week. I didn't, but some people did. And Haley had spare jackets in her car. But we want to have as many people that can come out. If you're able-bodied, tomorrow night, the last one of the year, let's go out with a bang, 6:30 there at the fire department, Clayton, Old Salem, and Taywood. And so we'll meet right there. The church fan will pick us up right there, and we'll go down a few more streets. We got the hill streets. Now, don't let that scare you because they're not even on hills. Right, Brother Dave? They're pretty flat. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to get out there. We just go for an hour, 6:30 to 7:30. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, the Bengals play tomorrow. Listen, I know that, and I'm going to get out of there at 7:30 too, all right? But guess what? There's souls that need saved. And praise be to God, Brother Brandon led a man to the Lord on the church property on Monday. And so that was awesome. So pray for a man named Christos Mason. And so he got his address and number and talked to him for quite a while and was able to lead him to Christ. And so we're going to follow up and hopefully get him into discipleship and get him into church. And so praise God for what's going on there. Youth group has several things coming up. If you're interested in helping make pumpkin cookies, pumpkin pie, pumpkin roll, he doesn't care. For their pumpkin day that's coming up here, there's a sign up out front. I know that there's already at least one person signed up. Brother Brandon just wanted to do that. We want you to have a part with the youth ministry. They're part of the church, amen? And so if you want to help out with that, that would be much appreciated just so that you can be a blessing there. And I know the youth would truly appreciate it. We're also excited. The Joyful Noise Choir, they're out there and they're practicing away. Sister Maddie and Crystal, they're so excited. And they're going to be singing for us the first Sunday in November, November 6th, the Joyful Noise Kids Choir. I believe that it's going to be Time Change Sunday, so that we're going to fall back. So they're going to get an extra hour of sleep. So we said, yeah, let's get them cranky little kids an extra hour of sleep before we have them sing. No, it's going to be a good time. We're excited about that. And so many great things going on. Also, Young at Hearts Ministry, second Thursday of the month, you're going to want to be here. And so that's coming up in just a couple of weeks, those 55 and over. And then last thing is this Saturday, we have men's prayer breakfast, 9 a.m. I don't generally put it in the bulletin because it's year-round. The first Saturday of the month at 9 a.m., we have men's prayer breakfast. You don't need to bring anything, just you and your Bible. We'll have a devotion. Actually, Brother Carter, he's out of town and working tonight. He'll be doing the devotion, and we'll have a good time there. We'll eat, we'll fellowship, we'll pray together, which is so important, amen. And we'll look forward to that. And then Sunday morning, we'll have our first Sunday friends and family. If you don't know what that is, it used to be that we would have the kids in here with us every first Sunday. And then there's too many kids and too many people to have everybody in here on the first Sunday. So we just started letting them be over there. Brother Jeremy and Sister Christy are like, yay, every week. But we're excited what's going on over there. I was doing their new attendance books, and I saw all the kids that are in there and new kids that are coming consistently. And it's a blessing. But we want you to never forget to invite people the first Sunday of the month. We really want to make that an evangelistic outreach, an evangelistic message. This week, how much more evangelistic can you get than Brother Corey Wilcher from Bible Baptist Mount Orb, missionary to Toronto, Canada? He and his wife will be here, and family will be here, and he's going to preach for us Sunday morning. And so we'll have a good time there, but you'll hear the heart of a missionary. And how much more evangelistic can that get? So get your lost friends and family here. And then we have revival with Kent York coming. So you know from Brother York was here last year with us and wanted to have him back for a second year with him being new to our church. And so Brother York's going to be here. If you've got lost friends and family, there's lots I could say about Kent York. But the one thing I'll say for Kent York is, and you saw this last year, is the altars will be full. And if you bring people in here that are lost, that need saved, that need Jesus, Kent will be right on top of it. And it will be a great time for them. And people got saved last year. We had Miss Helen get baptized after getting saved there. And she's in church and more faithful than ever. And so we really want you to invite people. That's October 9th through the 12th. And we've got something he does called the Rumble we're going to do this year, an attendance goal kind of a thing that we're doing here with some prizes involved. And we had some people out last year. If you remember, we had people from the neighborhood. We went out and knocked, and they came over. And so this is a big time for us to get people into church. So you be devoted to that. Get yourself out there. I don't want to put them out too early, but we'll have some flyers on the tables, on the welcome table Sunday. And you can grab those, and we're going to have a good time, okay? Let's take some prayer requests. A couple of ads from this afternoon. Of course, we're praying for the folks down in Florida. The Burke family, they were members of our church, family of eight. They moved down to Florida about 2 years ago this year, and they are doing well, but they're right in the midst of it there in Port Richey. And so I talked to them. At the moment, they're doing well. They haven't lost electric or anything like that, but please pray for the Burks, Tim and Jennifer and their children, and we want to keep them in our prayers. And so if you would do that, B-U-R-K-E. And we'll keep in good contact with them. We are going to keep an eye on that situation and monitor and be of assistance and help how we can as a church financially. And we've got some church friends down there that we know in Winter Haven and other places in Florida. And so we'll keep our eyes on those things and help how we can. We're going to have a special prayer at the end of service tonight. We'll have some music. And I would invite you to come to the altar and pray for all those folks in the line of the hurricanes. And we've got people in our church who have family down there, friends. So the Salyers, they go to Florida every year. Dick and Betty Robbins used to go, and their families. And so lots of people down there that they know. And so we want to just keep them in our prayers, okay? And I believe that we have a God that said, to the wind, peace be still. And the wind stopped. And that I still believe he has that power. And so I'm praying that if nothing less, that he will minimize the damage and that he will secure life and that life will be preserved there. We also want to keep in our prayers tonight a couple of folks that we've been praying for, but some special prayers here for those folks. Roger Robinson, leukemia, friend of Bev Stearns, not doing well at all. Seems that he might have just weeks to live over on the left column there. And then also, good and bad news, I suppose, a gentleman named Rick Barnett. He was a member of the former Trotwood Baptist Church. He had a surgery and for cancer, but he's home now and doing better. And I've not been able to reach him just yet, neither has Bev, but we're trying to reach him. And he plans on, when he's well enough, to start coming to church. And so we're praying for that gentleman. His name is Rick Barnett there on your left column as well. Praises, and then I'll take some from you all. We did have that one save there. Sister Nancy Cunningham, if you weren't here Sunday, is going to be the church secretary. And so she starts Monday, and that's a blessing for us as a church family that will help us do a lot of things. And in the office, Brother Brandon and I can do what our real job is, to go out and see people saved and discipled. And so that's a blessing. I spend about 14 to 15 hours a week right now just in the office doing office work, which is way too much. for what I need to be doing. And so with Brandon and with Nancy, we're about to see this thing just take off. And so that's a blessing. And I'm really excited about that, to be able to get back out and have those 14 or 15 hours a week. And she's going to do some more things that I don't do. And so we're going to be running a little bit smoother, and you're going to just see things prepared. It's you know what I found out? Being the choir director is a full-time job. I think y'all should pay me double. I just think, oh, okay, let's back it out. Just kidding. We had plenty of return visitors here Sunday, and so that was a good news. We had about 12 people that returned, visitors for this last Sunday, which was a true blessing for us, and so that's exciting, and our new family fellowship went well. Pray for our missionaries, Dwayne and Tammy Wright, to Ethiopia. Dwayne was a good friend of mine. He was my best friend's youth pastor, actually, and he's a good dude, and we had him here last year, he and his wife. They're back and doing well in Ethiopia after some wars there where they had to come back this time last year for safety. But pray for the Wright family and keep them in your prayers. All right. Anybody have any prayer requests they'd like to add or update? Bud?
My grandson Noah is growing and losing all his hair.
How old is he?
Nine.
That's what I thought. Young guy. Bud's grandson, Nolan. His last name would be Mo, right?
Yeah.
M-O-E, Nolan Mo. Okay. You know, that's a crazy story, how God works. I moved all the way from Wilmington, Ohio to Dayton, and Bud's grandkids, those the ones he's talking about, I moved right next to their grandpa, to their other grandpa. And now I move, but when we moved to Dayton, and I saw Bud's grandkids running around in the backyard by my house. I'm like, that's Bud's grandkids. Why are they over here? He's like, yeah, that's their grandpa. I'm like, how in the world does that happen, right? And then Bud's related to people we knew from Wilmington, the Shinkles. It was like such a small world. Anybody else? All right, well, let's look in our Bibles here this evening. I'm excited about this. I've preached this message before. Most of you are newer to the church and you've never heard it, so it doesn't really matter. But we are looking at this, and I read a book once by John R. Rice called When a Christian Sins. And I thought about this, and to be quite honest with you, Wednesday nights, I wasn't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be on vacation, and force of nature and my wife's job, we're here. And then Carter was going to preach, but he's not here anyway, so it kind of worked out that way. I was thinking about this, and what God put on my heart. You know, I preach a lot about sin and about repenting from sin and, you know, never going to back down or shy away from having people in the right relationship, but I think that it's important for me to explain what happens when a Christian does sin. Because if you're anything like me, you fail. You have flaws. If you're anything like me, you mess up occasionally. And if you're anything like me and you're married, your wife says you mess up a lot. But what I have found is this, that a lot of Christians don't know what to do once they've sinned. That it causes a couple of things. Either they stay in their sin and they're mucking their mire. They get to a point where they say, it's just too bad. I can't figure this thing out, and I'm going to stay in it. Now, listen, this isn't about being critical or being on your case tonight. It really isn't. But I had someone this week talk to me, a pastor friend who's very faithful to the Lord and serving the Lord. And he wanted me to pray for him because he's struggling to soul win and struggling to read his Bible and struggling to pray. And I would be the first one to admit to you, as a pastor, that's happened to me in these past 10 years. I've struggled, not because I was mad about it, but because you think you're too busy, which we all know that busy means to be buried under Satan's yoke. But what happens is you get in this pattern, and then when it gets to that, his issue is not really sin. I guess it is, in a way, but it's a sin of omission. He's just omitting to do something. And what I told him was this. Staying in that position, you know, he was blaming it on other people and blaming it on family and time. And I said, you know, you're in charge of how serious you are about the things of God. You are in charge. You get to be as spiritual as you want to be. No one else gets to dictate that for you. Now, people around you can make you upset. People around you can hurt you. People around you can do things to make it very difficult. But no one is in charge of your spirituality but you. So I started thinking about this earlier last week, I suppose, this week, I suppose. And I looked at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. A little boy was sitting in Sunday school class, and the teacher asked, "What do you have to do to obtain forgiveness from sin?" And the little boy's answer was, "First, you have to sin." Well, we know the Bible says we've all sinned. So this is an issue that strikes us all, right dead smack in the middle of the heart. You know, I don't struggle with certain things that the Bible calls sin, but I'm a sinner. There are certain things in the Bible that, though they be interesting, I've never had a donkey speak to me. Anybody? Anybody? You know, the Bible talks about the adder and the dragon and snakes. I don't want to be anywhere near any of that stuff. I get away from snakes. We were fishing the other day, and Savea said, "Dad, I saw a water snake." I said, "Well, you're on your own." I was out of there. Here's the keys, baby. I'm out. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, kings and queens. Well, I've never lived in a land with a king or a queen. I have a sovereign king that's on the throne, but some of that stuff doesn't apply, but sin applies to everyone. Whether they want to accept it or not, sin applies to the lost and sin applies to the saved. Sin is the one matter that involves every person that's ever been born of man, save for Jesus Christ alone. It involves us all. So we have to think about this. We have to look at this. The Bible says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not." I would look to John and I would say, "Well, that seems really easy, doesn't it?" "Sure it does." "Okay." He says, "And if any man have sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Oh, praise God. The Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. He's the wrath settler. All the stuff you ever did bad, when you, listen, you didn't even have to accept him to pay for it. He paid for it, but when you did accept it, you started to have peace with God. And you can never lose it. The propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, he says, for the saved people and for the lost people, he's the propitiation. The man, Christos Mason, that got saved right there under the shelter on Monday with Brother Brandon, he walked up to the shelter and he was the world and he left that place saved. But you know what? He had to recognize his condition, his sin first. He came in as a sinner. He left as a sinner, but he left as a saved sinner who has the righteousness of Christ applied. Verse 3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now it's our goal and our obligation as Christians to teach him what the commandments are. And then if he's truly saved, he'll follow these commandments up to a certain point, and we'll go back to this message again, but he surely won't live the rest of his life perfectly, most probably. Verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." I say it all the time, but I think it's important for Christians to hear because we get beat up so much, not just at church, but in the world and in our mind. I don't know about you, but my own worst enemy is my conscience. It's the Holy Spirit, but a lot of times it's not the Holy Spirit. A lot of times it's our flesh. You know, the Holy Spirit never tells you that you're garbage. The Holy Spirit never tells you that you're bad. The Holy Spirit never tells you that you're not worthy. The Holy Spirit never tells you that you're not worth it. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He's the voice of truth. He's God. He only builds you up. But our flesh stands in the way of us sometimes getting right with God because our flesh, our pride, our sin, our arrogance, our sinful flesh will sometimes beat ourselves down. And then the one who drags that along is Satan. Satan gets a hold of that and he says, "Oh, good." Because if a Christian gets so down on themselves that they can no longer serve God, Satan's winning in that moment. So he says, "I'm going to keep you down. I'm going to keep you hurting. I'm going to keep you struggling." But guess what, guys? The good news for us is this. What happens when a Christian sins? Well, it is possible to never sin after our salvation. It is. Again, I've told you 100 times. I've never known anybody that's done it. There's a group of people, they believe in lordship salvation. They believe that after you get saved, you can never sin again. That you should never, and if you sin again, you lose your salvation. Or you were never really saved. Well, those people must be a lot better than me. They must have it going on, you know what I mean? Like going on like Donkey Kong, because I don't know anybody that's ever done it. And if you're in here and you say you've done it, well, if any man say they have not sinned, he is a liar, the Bible says. And so I just know this, and I know this from the Word of God, We don't lose our salvation, right? This isn't an episode on assurance of salvation, even though we sang Blessed Assurance, and this is Assurance Baptist Church. But John makes clear in the very same letter, writing to Christians, that when we sin, it affects our relationship. And when we get back in right relationship, it deepens our relationship with God. Sometimes you have a scar and it heals back and it doesn't look the way that it did originally, but it's healed up and it's not bleeding anymore. It's not getting infected anymore and it's covered up. And when you think about that, every time you look at a scar, you can kind of say to yourself, you know, I'm covered, in the same way that Jesus Christ covers your sin, that there was sin there and now it's covered. And it may leave a little lasting effect in our lives. It may leave a little hurt, but it's way better than it was before. The Bible tells us, John continues in his letter, and he actually said it before, but continuing in John's letter in 1 John 1, verse 3, that which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know that's why we have church fellowships? It comes from this. We don't have church fellowships so that you can hang out with each other because you like each other. We have church fellowships because it represents hanging out with God. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And so whenever Christians get together, we're in the midst of the presence of the Trinity. And when we're in the midst of the presence of the Trinity, we're in fellowship with God. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and we know the indwelled Holy Spirit is in us who are saved, so there's the Trinity. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Here's the point of the message tonight. When a Christian sins, don't let your joy be incomplete. Allow your joy to remain full. How do we do that? We're going to see in a moment. Verse 5, this then the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him has no darkness at all. See, when you're hanging out with God, it's impossible to have darkness. When you're really with God, when you're really in fellowship with God. Now listen to me. I'm not saying it's impossible to have dark days and dark times and dark hours, but I'm saying when you're really in true fellowship, when you get into a sin issue, it's hard to have light. You're in a dark place. We call it that, don't we? Even the lost world says that he was in a dark place. Even atheists will say they were in a dark place. Well, why? Because when you're in darkness, when you're away from the light of God, the glory of God, there's nothing else there. You can't see past your sin issues. But verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When you let your sin keep you so beat down that you can no longer fellowship with God, you're lying to yourself. You can, it's that you won't. We're going to look. How do we do it? What do we do when we sin? Christian, number one, we tell the advocate. We take it to the advocate. We saw back in verse 1 there, that we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is something that, when I was reading the Bible as a young guy, when I was reading through it many times, working third shift at the jail, even before I was saved, didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But then I started working at the jail, and I started transporting inmates to court. And a word they use all the time, in different ways, for the attorney is an advocate. And sometimes I met a lady, her name's Chandra, she's my wife, and when we first got married, she was a victim's witness advocate. I said, what is that? So as she started to tell me about her job, she would go and speak on behalf of the victims and help them get civil protection orders and temporary protection orders. And what it is someone who speaks on your behalf, who has your best interest in mind, that goes before the judge or goes before the magistrate and speaks on your behalf. When we go to the advocate, we speak. When we confess our sin to Jesus, he goes to the Father as our advocate, because remember, you and I can't speak to the Father only through the Son. And so all those hurling accusations of Satan, when you sin, Satan wants to deepen that and he wants to tell the Father, but we have an advocate who's standing in the middle, who's standing up for us and telling the judge, oh no, I've talked to them and this is what's happening. And fortunately for us, think about it in the courtroom setting. How unfair would this be? The judge, the Father, is sitting there in the judge's seat, and the advocate for you is his Son. We would call that unfair advantage, right? We would say we're in a lot of trouble if we were on the other side. If you were sitting over there where Satan's sitting, if you went to court, if Brother Jeremy Brister was in court and he's on one side and over here I'm on the other side and my attorney is my brother and the judge is my dad, Brother Jeremy's in trouble. You say that's an unfair advantage. Praise be to God, that's what the grace of God does. Oh yeah, you have an unfair advantage when it comes to you talking to the Heavenly Father when Satan's trying to talk to him because his own son is your attorney. He's your advocate. The first thing you do is you need to take it to the Son. The old song, I take it to the rock. Sometimes I believe that we, when we sin, we run from Jesus instead of run to Jesus. Think about this. The person who died to pay for your sin, he doesn't want you to run away when you are in sin. He wants you to run and plunge right back into him where he's at. He's standing there going, you don't need to run away from me when you're in sin. I'm the propitiation. I'm the one who paid for it. Come over here, parent, grandparent. When your child, when your grandchild's in trouble, you don't want them to run when they're in trouble. You want them to come to you. Anybody's parents, I say this to my kids, there's nothing you can ever do that you can't come and talk to me about. There's nothing that you can ever do that's going to make me cast you out or cast you away. I tell my kids this all the time. Come tell me first. Come tell me as soon as possible. Don't let the problem fester. Don't let it get worse because I'm your father and I love you and I can probably help you get it right. Rather than you going and asking your friends or reading a self-help book or trying to fix the problem yourself. It's probably a pretty lame analogy, but it's like when we go fishing together and they get tangled. I constantly say, if you get tangled, leave it alone. Let Dad, I'm very experienced with tangles. Let Dad come over and get it untangled because 99% of the time what my kids do, not my sons now, but my daughters do now, is they get it tangled even worse. They're in there trying, and they're trying to reel, and then we've got a rat's nest, and when we first started, it was just a little mouse nest, you know, but I can probably get it out. What we do as Christians a lot of time is we keep on trying to get the line out instead of just going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, can you help me? And he's just Jesus. He'll say, I got it. See, it's easy. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't forgive yourself and you can't cleanse yourself. Christians are trying to cleanse themselves by making up with it for good works. They say, you know what I've heard people say when they're in sin? They're saying, well, I'm just going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to more church services. That will not fix your sin. The Bible says you've got to go to the advocate. You got to go to him first. Other things applied can help, but it's no good. The judge isn't going to let you just pay the fine if he says habeas corpus, that you've got to bring the head, that you've got to be in court. You can't do that. You can't miss court. That's failure to comply, failure to appear. You've got to show up and go through the advocate because you're not allowed to talk when you're in court when you're that person. The advocate has to speak for you, and when the advocate speaks and then the deal's worked out, then you pay the fine. It doesn't work the other way. But a lot of times, Christians, we know this, that we only get saved by faith, but we think we can get out of sin by works. You ever think about that? A lot of times we sin and we don't have enough faith to go to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness, even though he's faithful and just to forgive us. But what we try to do is start trying to dig ourselves out of the hole, trying to get ourselves out of that. I think about the guys that brought the inflatables. Praise God it didn't rain on Fall Family Day. Because on Friend Day we said, go this way, up the gravel, because it's wet over here. He said, I've got a four-wheel drive truck. I'm sure I can do it. So he turned around, and guess what? He couldn't do it. We've got big ruts in the yard to this day. Brother Todd mowing over those things, and he's bouncing like this, like he's got hydraulics on his big old 60-inch mower. And the guy said, I thought I could make it. We told you you couldn't make it. And so guess what we had to do? He said, oh, I can get out of here. I've got four-wheel drive. So he unhooked the trailer with all the inflatables on it, and he's spurring his wheels, and that four-wheel drive is not going anywhere, and it's just making our ruts deeper. It's just making our yard look worse. And finally, you know what we had to do? Brother Brandon still had his work truck from Ohio Valley. We had to put the winch system on the back of his truck and had to winch that truck all the way across and the trailer all the way across. And you know how God repaid that guy? As soon as we got it and his truck started driving, his transmission transmission blew up and transmission fluid went all over the driveway. And I wanted to say, guess what? You should have took it to the advocate instead of trying to do it yourself. We should have just went and got that 1,000-pound winch a long time. You had it at the house. You just live over in New Lebanon. Why didn't we drive 15 minutes and get that winch? But you just had to try to show up that four-wheel drive. Christian, we're just the same way. He knows I tell that as an illustration. I talk to him all the time. We're the same way. We keep on trying to get out of the ruts, don't we? We keep on spinning those wheels, thinking we can do it. Instead of just going and getting the winch, going to the advocate and saying, just pull me out of this thing. Go to the advocate. Hey, I really think this. When you sin, ask yourself, how guilty am I really? How guilty am I really? What am I asking you this? If you're saved and you know you're saved, truly saved, he took your guilt and he took your shame. And even when you don't feel innocent, you are innocent. That's what justification is, just as if I never sinned. You're completely made clean, white as snow. Though your sin may be as scarlet, he has washed you as white as snow. So even when you feel guilty, if you're truly saved, you're innocent. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? When a Christian sins, tell the advocate. Number two, turn away from the sin. This seems like a duh moment, but oh, my friends, you do this long enough and working now in full-time ministry for a decade, people fail to realize to turn away from their sin. Now, God's not asking you for holiness. God demands our holiness. It's a demand. Sin's going to be punished. Out of God's amazing grace, we are justified when we're truly saved because of his atoning sacrifice, which pleased the Father. But it's contrary to human logic and reason. That's why we know it's only God's grace that can do it. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, God says he won't hear us from heaven. But Christian, listen, we ought to despise sin and we ought to kill sin and get away from sin because that's what Christ, he died for us. He died to kill that sin. The analogy here for me is this. In Romans 3:25, the Bible says, whom God? We were justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in verse 24. But in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, there's that word again, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We must put our sins behind us. I would say this, if when a Christian sins, the first thing you do is tell the advocate, and you might draw strength on how to stop that sin. You ever been in a sin that was hard to stop? Known a lot of people who I truly believe were Christians who struggled with drugs or alcohol. They have happened. I have a friend that was a doctor, who's a Christian, who had an injury and began to prescribe himself medicine, pain medication, lost his license and these things. And I believe he's saved, and he tried everything he could to get out of that and counsel and all these things. But you know what he said to me? He said, you know what finally happened. He said, as I got closer to God and as I asked him to help me, I lost the taste for it. And I was able just to stop. And he was able to stop cold turkey. Now, not everybody's going to stop cold turkey when they're on drugs or alcohol. I'm not saying that that's the way, but there's ways through this. But at the end of the day, whether it be a worldly program or it be a godly-based biblical program, the ultimate end goal is that you stop with the addiction. You stop with the sin. And it's just like that for all of us, no matter what the sin is. We have to stop what we're doing. And again, no one's in control of that but you, but if you need strength and you need someone to help you with that, who better to ask than the one that died for that sin? You think he wants you to stop? I was at Bud and Nancy's today. They got two little, they're chihuahuas, right? Yeah, they're not very big. One of them's old and can't see very well. But I like them. I was looking at them, and I drew this, and they put this little fence up, and the dogs are running around. And Nancy said, the one dog that can't see well has to follow the other dog around because he has to follow the steps. Are they girls? They're both girls? Yeah. They say they have to follow her around so that she knows where she's going. And they're in a new place, so she really is kind of lost about where she's going. And I was thinking about this, and this may be dumb, but it just kind of came to me. But, you know, sometimes we get into sin and we kind of chase our tails like that little dog that can't see very well. Because we won't follow the advocate. You know, she can just simply follow this dog because they're going to the same place. Like, we're going outside, we're going inside, we're going to the food, we're going to the water. Like, just follow me. We lose that. But the thing I thought about with this is, but in just a few short days of living in this new place, that dog has learned where to go. She stopped going to the wrong places, and she started going to the wrong places. Now, if a, no offense, a stupid dog, I love dogs, but I've had questions about if some dogs are smarter than some humans, but in this case, we'll just say that a human being with way more intelligence than a dog, if after 3 or 4 days a dog can figure out which way to go, why can't we? Well, I think it comes down to number three. As we look here, I think that sometimes we just forget how to keep his commandments. Number three, keep his commands. When a Christian sins, remember to keep his commands. Just remember what the basics are. Hey, she's figuring out, oh, if I go this way, I won't run into the wall. If I go this way, I can find the food after just a short couple of days. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know what God's commandments are. It doesn't take every single one of those teenagers over there. They have been in discipleship with Brother Brandon. They went through 7 weeks of teaching other people how to disciple other people and these things. And guess what? Some of them have only gotten saved just recently, just in June or so, or even after. And they already know the basic commandments of God. Doesn't take very long. But sometimes when we want to repent, and authentic repentance is always characterized by a change to obedience, but what we do is, as a Christian, when we sin, we must hurry up and not only repent, but hurry up and start doing God's will. Remember I said Sunday? I think this is something that you should write down or you should remember. God doesn't just sanctify us, he also consecrates us. He sanctifies us, he separates us from sin, but then he consecrates us to his holiness. A lot of times you'll hear pastors say, well, you just repent, and that's not enough. Repent in faith is enough for salvation, but why are we repenting? Why? Why are we being sanctified? It's to be consecrated or brought to the image of Jesus Christ, to look more like Jesus. A man told me once that we shouldn't be discipling people, we should be teaching people how to be saints. You can mix your words, whatever, but I think his point was, God's commanded us to be holy and follow his commands. He's consecrating us to sainthood. I think that's important that we see this is the only Christian accomplishment, to obey God's perfect will. Doesn't matter how good your job is. Doesn't matter how many kids you have. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Your only true Christian accomplishment is how obedient you are to the will of God. It's the only thing that you're going to get rewarded for in heaven. Joe Burrow is not getting rewarded in heaven for throwing 40 touchdowns. I want him to do it, but he ain't getting jack for it in heaven. I'm not getting any reward for my college education. But how obedient to God I am, how consecrated to Jesus I am, I will be being given rewards in heaven for that. God says through his word that we are to keep his commandments, God's perfect will, his love. Us showing our love back is proving to the world that we are part of him. We saw back there in the text, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The way that we show the rest of the world that we know him is by not sinning, and when we do sin is getting back on the horse, not staying off the horse, and continuing to ride on for Jesus Christ. Anybody here ride horses? Don, why? You and Savea. I asked this afternoon, and Rita, you know, she's 82 years old, and she's been sick for 2 weeks. She said, oh, I love to ride horses. I said, man, well, you stay off horses. You know, you're going to be hurt. You stay away from the horses. But my daughter, Savea, has started horseback riding lessons. And can you see me on a horse? Like, that just don't even make no sense. I look like the black Jimmy Dean out there or something like that. That just ain't even look good. Like, that's not good. I don't want no part of that, you know. But she's riding horses, and I'm like, She hasn't fallen off, but I'm always asking her, what are you going to do if you fall off that big old horse? She's like, I'm not going to fall, Dad. But I'm like, what are you going to do? And she said, get back up and ride it. I thought to myself, you know what? If Christians had that attitude about when we fall into sin, just get back up and ride it. Hey, you know you got a horse in heaven, right? Sitting at the gates. The Bible says someday he's coming with all the saints, and they're coming, and they're riding on horses. Doesn't say they have wings, but they fly. Yeah, amen. You know, the donkey in Shrek said, I'm a flying, talking donkey. You know, like this, right? He's coming back. You got a horse in heaven if you're saved, my friend. Praise God. I tell Savea that. She's like, can I just have a horse now? No, you live in town. All right. Number four. When a Christian sins, what do we do? Well, it's not just keep his commandments, but it's more serious than that. So this probably would be, instead of just discipleship, sainthood, we walk as he walked. We walk as he walked. Look with me in Luke 9:23, and I'll be finished. Luke 9:23. We walk as he walked. Jesus is our earthly example, right? Baptists have an affinity with Paul, but Paul's not our earthly example. Jesus is our earthly example. Paul works for Jesus. Pretty good. I mean, I'm no Paul, but still, he's a sinner. Jesus is not. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We preached a sermon series on taking up our cross. Daily Christian life means to take your own cross and deny it, to murder that sin and follow it, Jesus, the righteous one. When a Christian sins, it does not stain the garment given at salvation, but does produce a stench that can be smelled by the world, which is not appetizing on the menu for which lost sinners want to be dining on. I think that it's important for us as Christians to remember that the greater responsibility we have, the greater the name that we have for Jesus, and the more critical and alarming the weaknesses seem. When a Christian sins, it's so egregious because of our responsibility, because of the name we represent. But I think it's really important for us to remember that our ultimate goal is to walk as he walked in upright, just perfection. Now, I close with this. I've gotten better in my life, and I struggle with this, and I'll just be transparent. I really struggle with perfection. I am a perfectionist in my personal life. And when I'm not perfect, my wife will tell you, I'm not very pleasant to be around. For 4 years now, Logan and Carter and Brandon have been trying to get me to go play disc golf, and I told them for 4 years, I don't want to go because I don't know how to do it, and I'm not good at it, and I don't like doing things I'm not good at. So I finally went, and I was plus 49. If you know anything about golf, that's outrageously bad. And I told them fools I didn't want to go. So now I'm mad about it because I got to get good at this because I can't stand to be bad at it. So not only am I practicing at the church, but I'm like reading and watching the YouTube videos of how to throw this disc better. And I really don't care. I don't even like it, but I just don't want to be bad at it. I really don't. Like, it's not that fun to me. Like, they're going in the middle of the summertime. It's hot. Like I could be fishing. I could be sitting down, not walking 18 disc golf holes with you fools. Like, I'm 40 years old. Nobody got time for that. But I'm just so mad about it. My shoulder was hurting. My neck strained. Everything else. I'm trying to throw this thing. My shoulder pops every time I throw the thing. I'm like, I'm going to have a rotator cuff injury. But I just can't settle on not being good at it. You know what else? I'm not a very good cook. But because of who I am and because of who my mother is, we have to compete against each other. So my mother, you know, I've told you she's the real life Medea. And Robin knows. She's met her. And so, you know, she'll cook these things and I have to cook the exact same dish because I want it to be better than hers. So we'll have cook-offs, and we're like, Mom made an apple pie. That's a lie. Ain't nobody in my family healthy. We don't eat nothing with apples in it. Okay, let's take that back. So Mom made a pumpkin pie. I made a pumpkin pie. It's like, whose is better? Like, I've got to compete. I don't know how to cook, but I will go on and find the 5-star recipe on Google. I will, like, I don't know nothing about Pinterest, but I'll be Pinteresting recipes so I can beat my mom at this. And then I coax all my family members to say mine was better. And she's like, oh, that was not. I'm like, see, everybody said mine's better. You know, we go through this because I just want it to be perfect. But when I'm making that pie, like I'm taking my time, boy. I'm trying to get everything, every morsel. Like if I drop a little bit of sugar, I'm like, I gotta get some more sugar in that. I don't Just, I want it to be measured out completely perfect. I'm smoothing it out. I'm just taking my time. I want to be good at it. I always think about that, and I think about, do I want to be that perfect in my Christian walk? Walk as he walked. Are you trying to be perfect? The Bible says we're supposed to be perfect. Now, I understand the Greek word means mature, but I speak English. It says we're supposed to be perfect for him. I just said we're going to fall, but here's my key to this. Aim for perfection, and when you miss by a little bit, you'll still be really close. Not holy, but true. When you are taught to shoot at the academy, or when you're taught to shoot anywhere, you're going to aim center mass. Why? Because if you miss to the left or to the right, or up or down just a little bit, you're still going to stop the person from attacking you. As a Christian, aim center mass. You might miss to the left a little bit or to the right a little bit, but you're going to be really close to the image of Christ. When a Christian sins, go to the advocate. Repent. Go towards him. Do your very best to be consecrated to him. Find yourself in a place where you're walking as he walks. And I guarantee you, God will bless you. Don't stay in the hole. Dig yourself out of it. And as you're digging, first go to him and ask him how to dig. And he'll show you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask this evening that you would help us, guide us, Lord, as we come to you in prayer. Father, we've got much to pray for. We've got much to be thankful for as well. Lord, our prayer list, our things that, Lord, we've written down, we've talked about tonight. Father, we're asking that you would help us. Lord, we're going to have some music play just here in a moment. And Father, we would ask that we would consider our friends that are in Florida, in the path, not just in Florida, but in the path of the storm. Even as we speak now, Lord, the winds and the rains are torrential and blowing. Father, we would ask that folks would find their way to the altar tonight as the music begins to play. As we think about these things, Lord, maybe tonight, maybe it's just you want to aim more perfectly for God. Maybe it's you want to get out of some sin. You want to just find yourself a place at the altar. I encourage you to come tonight, whatever it might be.
Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all.
Praise the Lord. Keep praying for those folks there in Florida. You can keep the song playing, AJ. That's fine. And we'll see everybody that can make it tomorrow night at 6:30 at the fire department. And for the rest of you, men, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. over in the fellowship hall. And then everybody else, teenagers have Adopt a Highway Saturday morning. They're going to be cleaning up the highway. And then everybody else, we'll see you Sunday morning in Sunday school at 9:15. We're going to have a great day in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be safe going home. God bless.